Hallelujah. If you got one of these, hold it up. Let me see it. Or one of these, or one of these, or a phone, I don't care. Whatever's got your Bible in it. This is my Bible. This is the Word of God to me. God wrote this to me. It's for me to understand Him, to know His ways, and to know who I am, that my Creator made me to be. Amen. You know what Bible stands for? It's an acronym. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Amen? Amen. So if it's in here, it's for me. Right? I tell you what. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ who raised from the dead. And we have our Heavenly Father. And they loved us so much, they gave us this. So that we can know them. Amen? And that we can know who we are. How many are ready to get a bigger idea of who you are today? Amen? Do you think there's more of God available for you, as you, than you're walking in? We all do. Amen. So get your spiritual seatbelts, click them into place, and let's go. Because we're going to take off right away, shall we? All right, let me pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is absolutely true. I thank you that your word is life to us, Lord, that it nourishes us, that when it's engrafted within us, Lord, that it saves our soul, Lord. It transforms us by renewing our mind and our idea of who we are. Lord, you know this world and the workings in this world is deceptive and subtle, and it lies to us to tell us who we are and how we need to conduct ourselves. But you, Father, our Heavenly Father, has raised us from this and seated us in heavenly places. And you gave us the Bible, Lord Jesus, that we can see clearly, like in a mirror, who we are, Lord Jesus. That it can be deeply rooted within our hearts. That we can walk victoriously, free, holy and blameless before you, Lord. As a son in God. I thank you for that, Father, and I give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. So do I start off with the punch or do I work up to it?
I'll start off.
You guys want to start off with the punch? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 1. All right, if I start off with the punch, then we're going to have to build back up to take you in, shall we? Hebrews chapter 1. All right, in Hebrews, and we're not talking about coffee. Bruce loves to use the joke. Hebrews. Amen. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 1. Okay? And we're going to look at 1 through 4. Are you with me? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke. God, in various different kinds of ways, He spoke. In times past, to the fathers, by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, Jesus, who He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Hold on. So Jesus was the brightness of the glory of God and the expressed image of God our Father. So Jesus was a complete replica of our Father to us. So everything that He did, it came from God, right? Who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus has a more excellent name than the angels, right? Jesus is above the angels, isn't he? Lucifer was a what? Angel. And when an angel falls, he's called a demon. Jesus is above the angels. That was his inheritance, to have a name greater than the angels. Is that true? Okay, let's back up just a little bit further. Let's go back into verse 3 for a second. So Jesus has a name above the angels. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Let's focus on that. Not the power of his word. It doesn't say by the power of his word. What does it say? What's the difference? This is important. We're going to selah for a minute here. We're going to linger right here. It's what he speaks, she says. That would be your words. But it's the words of his power. It's not the power of his words. Huh? Ready for a spiritual point?
His power is the Holy Spirit, so it's the words of the Holy Spirit.
The words of the Holy Spirit, she says. Let's narrow in. Come on, let's keep thinking. Let's hash this out. The word of his power is what upholds all things. It's not the power of his words that uphold all things. We have death and life by the power of our words, right? God creates the fruit of our lips, right? His what? His breath, she says. How about this? Because I'll tell you, when you get this little thing, it'll change a lot of the things you say. Because life and death comes out of your mouth, right? You will eat the fruit of your lips, right? And you will be either justified or condemned by what comes out of your own mouth, right? So I want to let you know something. Your words reflect the power you think you have. The power you believe you have, your words are going to reflect the power you say in your heart that you have. Jesus upholds all things by the words of his power. The power that he has, he spoke by that power. And all things are hung by that power. His words are like buckets and containers that carry the power that's in him. And those buckets or containers create by the power that's in them. Therefore, you uphold the life that you live by the words of your power. Think about this. It's not the words. It's the power behind the words. How many of you have said things and it didn't happen? Be healed, and they weren't. Because were those buckets filled with healing power, or was it the bucket that had the value to you? Are you with me? He has a name above the angels because he got an inheritance that set him above the angels. You do? She says she has the same inheritance. Where does she have that? Where does it say that in the Bible, sis?
I can't quote verse 1, but I know
Well, why don't we go to Romans chapter 8? Okay, so you guys may get to witness the glory of God bursting out of my skin today. You may. You may burst out yourself with me. Feel free, okay? It would be perfectly all right with God if we had a Mount Transfiguration moment right here. Well, the glory of God just come busting out of us, and in that glorious light, it reveals Jesus standing right there going, come on, come on, come on, you can do this, come on. Romans chapter 8. Are you there? So if we go over to 7, let's go to 16. Let's go to 14. I love 14. Can we just jump up to 14? Sorry, who's ever on the computer. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. I taught on this last week, or last time I spoke. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffered with him, then we may also be glorified together. We are joint heirs with Christ. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read it again. We are joint heirs of Christ. So if I'm reading this, oh Lord Jesus, if I'm reading, can I do Trey Dickerson? If I'm reading this, it's me. It's me. It's you. Whoa, okay. I'm reading about me now. I'm reading about you now. So you read this chapter 1 about you. If we are joint heirs with Christ, did it say that? Okay. And we have authority. His spirit is in us, right? Okay then. The devil is going to lie to you. Ooh, is he going to lie to you? He is going to try to get this to not be real for you, to try to disqualify you. Ooh, he's going to resist you and not want to go when you tell him to go. Ooh, he's going to make you sick and tell you, see, it doesn't work. Ooh, he will do it. He'll say, oh, they don't love you. If they loved you, they would dot, dot, dot. Oh, he does not want us to get this. Ooh, he does not. So you just say, I need to pay special attention right now. This is me now. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and has these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, whom we are joint heirs with, right? He has appointed heir of all things, that we are joint heirs in all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who, being in the brightness of the glory of the expressed image of his Son, of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. As he has inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What are demons? Fallen. All right, I want to go to another place real quick. Go back to Romans. Back and forth we go. Back and forth we go. Romans chapter 8. No, Romans chapter 8. No, Romans chapter 8. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Ready? Okay, let me preface this real quick. How many of you, and I'm including me in this batch, okay? Don't raise your hands. How many of you believe that if you do good, that if you love people, that if you tithe and are generous, that if you read your Bibles, that if you pray and sing to God, that you should have a blessed life and that no bad things should happen to you. Bad things happen. Okay, I want to let you know this. That is true what we just read in Hebrews. But this is also true. We need to keep it in perspective. Starting in verse 35 of Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall troubles or tribulation or distresses or persecutions or famines or nakedness or peril or sword? Hold on a second. My religious brain can easily say this is true. But if you were naked right now and you had no clothes, how would you feel? How would you kind of think about your perspective with God? If you were naked right now and had no clothes, couldn't get any. You're stuck out on the streets with nothing, literally nothing. Famine. If you have, the grocery stores are empty. Walmart is empty. Kroger is empty. Whole Foods is empty. Natural Grocers is empty, 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 empty. There is no food for anybody. Famine. Still good? Are we still good? Is God forsaken us, or is the blessings of God still abounding towards us? The love of God poured out in our hearts that we are 100% good. Or sword. Or let's just say 9mm. Somebody's got a gun on you or a knife on you, and they're ready to kill you for your money, you're still good. Are you? Only you, don't raise your hand. Only you know what your power is. What's your power in all of this? 36, as it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. This is New Testament. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Amen. Through him who loved us. 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. 39. Nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. True? Great. I've almost got you where I want you. So, we're joint heirs with Jesus, who has a name better than the angels, and we are co-heirs in that with him. Right? That he, by the express image of his glory, showed us the Father. Right? That's you and me. And that we agree that it doesn't matter what we face on this earth, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Is that true? Not even an IRS audit. Nothing, amen, can separate us from the love of God. Therefore, we should be able to, you and I, walk in the same glory that Jesus walked in while on the earth. Amen? Amen? So let's just throw some things out there. If I just read that famine hits the land, right? It can't separate us from the love of God. How would Jesus handle it if famine hit the land? If all you can scrape together was an apple and a Twinkie. What could you do with so many people? A little pancake batter and a couple of eggs. It's a frame of mind. It's the power that you have. It's the power that operates in you. Your perspective and your solution is going to come from the power in you. Doesn't that sound like something out of Ephesians? Let's look in Ephesians real quick. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul's praying. May as well read the prayer, 14 through 21. Let's just read it. Be thinking about us. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, that's you and me, in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with miracle-working power through his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with everybody else in the church what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with what? All the fullness of God. Now to you all, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in you. And the power that works in me. So my words are the buckets or the containers that carry the power that's in me. Are you with me? That power is going to make or break your Christian walk. That power is going to make you a spectacle or bring shame and reproach upon the Lord. Yet power that you operate in is going to prove the gospel or prove the world's idea. By the power that works in you, by the words you speak, that when you speak, it comes to pass. Wow, that sounds like a scripture. Oh, let's go to Mark and see what it says. Do you know where I'm going? Shout it out. Mark 11. Ready? Starting in verse 22. This is right after the fig tree. You guys have heard this a billion times. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask, that is to demand what is rightfully yours. So when you're asking God, you're asking what he already said you can have. Got it? You're asking for what he already said you can have. You just need to get what's yours is all. Okay? To ask when you pray, believe that you received them and you will have them. We have to believe that our words accomplish what we say. that sounds like a scripture. I won't go there. Isaiah 55, though. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will accomplish that for which I have sent it. It will not return to me void. I kind of slaughtered that, but you guys got the idea. When I say something, it's going to happen what I say. Those words are not going to drop to the ground. And they're not going to come back to me empty-handed. They're going to bring me exactly the results that I said they were going to bring me. Right? Jesus was the expressed image and the brightness of his glory. The expressed image and the brightness of his glory. Who do you say you are? By what spirit is living in you and motivating you and causing you to manifest in this world around you and I? The Bible says it's a spirit called the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us, that has made us joint heirs with Christ. That spirit in me cries out, Daddy, Father, because I and you are what? Sons of God. Right? So, what's the deal? In Romans chapter 8, it says the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it cannot please God. Okay? It's at war with God. The carnal mind cannot allow what I'm saying right now to be your truth that you live by. Because your carnal mind is completely baptized in the spirit of this world. It is owned by the corruption that is in the earth, your carnal mind. Your carnal mind is natural. It's feeling related. It's scientific fact only. And that's how it operates. But how do you and I please God? By the F word. Faith. For without it, we can't please him, can we? I love this stuff. Faith is what, can I rephrase this into my words? It helps me. Maybe it'll help you. Ready? I've said this to many of you. Faith is me believing and trusting God that what does not exist in my life or my reality, I can absolutely make it exist because I insist it to exist. I make it come to pass because God's Spirit has been shed abroad in my heart, making me God's son. That I become the expressed image of God by the very Spirit that dwells in me. You know who hates that? My carnal mind. My carnal mind wants that to not be true. My carnal mind can make a list of different scriptures that are going to prove that this is not going to work. My carnal mind can say, I tried that once and it didn't work. My carnal mind said, I put all my faith in God and he let me down. My carnal mind can say, you're going to be embarrassed if you try that. My carnal mind is my enemy. And you know, Jesus had to deal with a carnal mind. You say, whoa, what, huh, what? He had to have one or he couldn't walk on the earth. He was without sin. But he's still born. He still lived on the earth. His parents still modeled to him. He had a carnal mind. And that's why it says, if he was without sin, right? The devil could never put sickness on him. The devil could never possess him. He couldn't be touched because he was sinless. Okay? So what was it that Jesus suffered that caused him to cry out with vehement tears? What was it he had to overcome? What was it that when you read in Isaiah 53, it says, he was acquainted with our sorrows and griefs? How could he be acquainted with it if he never had to go through it? He did. He went through it. But he knew something. He knew something. He knew he was the Son of God. And he had ministering angels talking to him. He had the covenant of the Old Testament teaching him. Did he not? Did he not? He absolutely did. He had his Father showing him and conducting him along the way, didn't he? We do too! We do too! Do you know that? Ministering angels are still ministering angels. And your name is greater than their name. Why? Because if you read on in Hebrews, it says, do you not know that you will judge the angels? You and I are judging angels. You and I are just like the one seated in his throne. Why? Because I'm seated there with him. Doesn't that what the Bible says in Ephesians and Colossians? Doesn't it say you're complete in him? Doesn't James say you're perfect and complete, lacking nothing in the Amplified? It's absolutely true. But you know who wants to not believe that's true? My carnal mind. That's right. That guy wants me to believe that everything else is real and true, not the stuff I'm not experiencing. The carnal mind does not believe by faith. It's at enmity against God. It cannot believe God. So what do we do when our carnal mind is taking over? When I'm in a situation that it says I'm a joint heir with Jesus, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's according to the power that works in me that raised Jesus from the dead will raise me from the dead also, and the same glory that he has, I've been promised that same glory. What do I do when my carnal mind gets a hold of me? And like the most subtle animal that was ever created, gets in there so slowly and moves so slowly. Somebody was telling me yesterday that a snake has the ability to catch a bird. A bird will just sit there, and the snake can mesmerize it and just mesmerize it and hypnotize that bird to where that bird that can easily just fly away sits there, and the snake can, because it's slow. So you can't quite detect that. Is he? Isn't he? Is the devil trying to? Is he not? Slowly but surely. Little bit. To next thing you know, your mind knows the truth of the Word of God. It can recall all the things that says who we are. But we're not living in it anymore. We're only remembering that it's true. Information alone, truth alone, cannot save you. James says faith without works is what? It's dead. Remembering that the words are true, that I'm a son of God, doesn't do anything. I have to be the son of God. Oh, I have to do the truth, the Bible says. I have to be the living example on the earth of the miracle working power of God. That it is still real and true today. And that's you and me too. And to the degree that we don't stir ourselves, shake ourselves, remind ourselves, speak the word, break out of the bondage by demonstrating, I love you, Lord, it's true, I don't care what I'm feeling, I don't care what I'm going through, the word is true and I'm just like you said I am, I'm free in Jesus' name, no matter what's glomming on me. When that snake comes up to bite you, you grab it by the throat and say, no, in Jesus' name. Then you break its neck and step on its head. Amen? No! Don't let it hypnotize you. If you have sickness in your body, if you have troubles that linger, he got you. He bit you. Are some of you calling me? Sorry about that. That was the Holy Spirit. He said, right on! Preach it, brother! Just giving me a little heads up that he likes it. Amen. Just a little heads up. He likes hearing this. When you break into glory, you'll see him standing there right now. You'll see him cheering you on right now. But it takes bursting into his glory. It says that the disciples, when they went up on the mountain of transfiguration, it says that the sleepiness overwhelmed them. But when they woke up out of the sleepiness, there they saw the glory of God, Moses and Elijah standing there. When they rousted themselves out of sleep, the Bible says, awake, you who slumber. Rise up from among the dead, and Christ's light will shine on you. That's you and me. That's you and me. Oh, but the carnal mind says, oh, you don't have the time to do all that preaching. You don't have the time to do all that praying. You don't have the time. You can't raise your hands up and shout glory to God. No, no. Oh, you can pray in tongues some other time. Oh, you don't have to do it boldly out loud so God and the whole world can hear you. You can do it quiet to yourself. So I can lullaby you to sleep and make you forget what you're even here for. But it takes you and me rising to the occasion to believe this book at face value, that I am exactly who he says I am, whether I see it or not. Because I lay hold of what you cannot prove is true. There's nothing you can do to measure it by. There's no proof that it exists at all. But I know that by me believing it's true with no results whatsoever, it pleases God. Because God's a spirit. He's invisible in this natural world. And the only way you see him is by your spiritual eyes opening. Right? So you and I have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he helps us in our weakness. We sometimes don't know how to pray or what to pray, but the Spirit in us does. With these groanings, with this, I just want to be free of this stuff. I want it to be over. Right? I'm tired of feeling like nobody loves me. I'm tired of feeling like I never have enough. I'm tired of people judging me. I'm tired of hurting because I don't have my loved ones anymore and I'm all by myself now. I hate this feeling and I'm not going to carry it anymore. Can you say that? I'm not going to carry it anymore. I'm free. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, my words come to pass. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. They do. By the power that resides in you, you speak words that uphold all things. That you speak this world the way you want it to be. By the power that works in you. Right? By the power that works in me. I got the power. Oh, isn't that a song? I got the power. Isn't that a song? I got the power. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not an arrogant carnal man. It's not a prideful, insecure human. It's the Spirit of God in you and me. The real you. The real me. That Satan works in this flesh to make it feel certain ways. To make it not operate quite as good as it once did. And he tries to get us to believe that's who we are. Jesus said, absolutely not. Hang that thing on the cross and I'll show you who you are. You're just like me in the spirit, right? And I've told you before and I'll tell you again. As you pray, as you make what does not exist, exist. As you make what doesn't exist, exist. I didn't say, well, God's going to do it through me. And you got to remember that it's not me, but it's Christ who does it. You know what that does? It lets the snake bite you. It lets the snake bite you when you do that stuff. No apologies. God gave you the authority. He says, all power and all authority has been given to me, and I dwell inside of you. And it's no longer you who lives, but it's me who lives in you. You make no apologies. You speak it. You make it happen. You glorify me. And when I do that, it pleases my Father. It says in chapter 15 of John, right? 15 of John. Got it right. I usually say Matthew. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. I said it right. Right? The vine and the true vine, it glorifies God when we do these things, doesn't it? Whew. Holy Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God Almighty. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Where is he? He's in me. He's the voice I hear inside of me that says, lay hands on that person. Go pray for that person. Sow that seed and let me show you what I can do with it. Take that little and I'll give you much. Hallelujah. What can nakedness, famine, peril, sword, what can any of that do to you? I don't care what tribulations you're going through. You can rise above it. And then you can be the one that people look at and say, they're walking on the water. People can't walk on water. They're walking on the water. There's no food in Walmart, but they're eating. How are they eating? There's sickness everywhere. People are dropping like flies, and they are worshiping and praising and singing. How can that be? Because we have a Father that loves us so much that he put himself in us. Say, oh, Robert, but you don't know. The Bible says this flesh, oh, sin dwells in this flesh. This flesh, it's a prison that I'm a subject to. Oh, I want to show you something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to show you one thing that this really blessed me. I told Pastor Trey, so I'm going to tell you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you there? Verse 16 and 17. Ready? Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Stop. Do you not know that you are the temple? How many of you can say, I'm the temple of God? Raise your hands. I want to see it. I am the temple of God. I am the temple of God. I am the temple of God. You're the temple of God, right? Let's read on. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells where?
In me.
9:17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Ooh, that's terrible. For the temple of God is... Wait a second. Stop. The temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? Hold it. This flesh is writhing with sin. How can it be holy? Holy, wait a minute. I've done things I'm ashamed of. How can this thing be holy? In my spirit, I'm holy, and I'm just like, but not this. The Spirit of God dwells where? In my flesh. Doesn't it say that he's given us this treasure in earthen vessels? Holy, holy Jesus. That means my flesh is holy. My flesh is pure before God. My flesh is undefiled. What can separate me from the love of God then? Only if I walk according to the flesh in condemnation. Only if I don't renew my mind and don't really realize who I am. But if I will realize who I am, if I will worship God, if I will sing to God, if I will speak declarations over my life and over my circumstances, what can anybody do to me? If I can walk in the revelation that I am over the things in this world, troubles, tribulations, famine, evil people, guns, politics, I'm over all of it. What can any of it do to me? Because my inheritance is not in this world. My identity is not in this world. My wealth is not in this world. And my power does not come from this world. But I am a heavenly creation, a new creature, a joint heir with Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. If God be for me, but I have to have that power working in me, that my buckets, my containers, reflect the power I actually believe I am. And if I don't believe I am as he says that I am, then my buckets will bring forth the poison, the carnality, the lack, and all the other evil things that can come because I don't think I have the power. I'm waiting for God to do it for me. The snake just gotcha. I am in no way blaspheming God or the Holy Spirit. I'm agreeing with him. But if you're on this side of heaven in your identity, you will think that you're separated from God and your power will come from your performance, your behavior, and your earthly value. But if you cross over to be in the heavenlies, that you rise up and know that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and your identity is here, and your authority comes from here, that you are victorious, already finished and complete, lacking nothing. That if I'm here and my invisible person that's inside of me, my inner man, the spiritual person, the invisible person, who I say I am that tells this flesh what to do, if that guy knows he's there in heaven, then when I speak, my buckets are full of heavenly glory and life. Are you with me? And from here, I can do all things through Christ, this glory that strengthens me. Because down here, it's a mystery that I have the glory of God in me. Because the carnal mind cannot perceive those things. Are you with me? Stand up. You can shake it, you can bake it, you can tear it, you can rip it, you can throw it in the air, you can throw it on the ground. I don't care how you do it. But I want you to encourage yourself before our God, your way. Amen? You don't have to follow me. You can. You don't have to follow the guy on either side of you. Doesn't matter to them. When your spiritual person breaks free, as it will, and your eyes open and your ears open and that fire of God just expands within you, you won't care one lick of what anybody else is thinking. Because in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. And it'll fill you up. But you got to break out. You got to break out. Your way of breaking out. Do you hear me? Get up and walk around. Shout, sing, dance, lay on your face, cry. I don't care. Break out right now in the name of Jesus. Pastor Trey, you got something?
Hey, Pastor Robert had made mention to the serpent. And you know what the reality is with a lot of us? We have been hypnotized and seduced by that serpent in different times in our life, and it has bit us. Some of us have been snake bit. But do you remember what the Apostle Paul did in the book of Acts? Come on now. He was there and he was picking up the sticks, putting them on the fire, doing something good, and the snake fastens itself on his hand. What did he do? He shook it off and went on. And it don't just mean that we're sitting here shaking like that. It can be that. It's just doing something to where you're not going to allow that snake to stay fastened onto you, but you're going to do something, whether it's praying in tongues, whether it's rejoicing, whether it's praising, that you're going to say, devil, no longer are you going to stay attached to me. I'm going to shake you off, and I'm going to move on and walk in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.